stories are the junk. The junk that's in our trunk. Our trunk, our trunk, our trunk. The junk in our trunk. Read them out.
If mics are on, if cameras are rolling, you've always got to be wary of what you say, guys. And no one knows this better than BBC Breakfast's weatherman, Matt Taylor.
Good friend of yours?
Hello, Matty.
Good friend of mine. Yeah. Now, what happened was, he was a weatherman and he was being crossed to by the two hosts on the couch. You know the gaff. It's like, hey, weatherman, we're going to do a bit of banter before we get into your weather.
Yeah, Gav Morris is standing by Bar Beach, crosses live back to Natasha on the desk.
Don't you love it how weather people now have to go to extreme lengths just to do the weather? Oh, like they're riding a unicycle while juggling and like, the weather in Cairns is going to be that.
Literally, these are people who have like studied and, you know, the meteorology or whatever and they're literally like clowns.
They are.
Like circus act.
I know.
Well, he certainly had egg on his face, not a cream pie, but egg, as a result of what happened. Now, I think you can pick up on everything that has happened here, but the two people on the couch ask him this first question. He gets his response, and then you'll see why he has egg on his face.
Matt, are you a Rick Astley fan?
Not a massive one.
That was the wrong thing to say. He's listening, and he's coming up in just a moment. I'll ask you again. Matt, are you a Rick Astley fan?
Love Rick Astley. Best. Grew up with him.
Great. He's coming up. He's coming up next, so we'll be very pleased to hear that. There he is now. He's listening in. Look, he heard everything you said, man. The damage is done.
That's brilliant.
Thanks, Charlie.
Now, there would have been a sternly worded email after that. Don't throw me under the bus.
Yeah, way to dig the boot in. He heard everything you said. Your damage is done here.
Yes.
Now, all credit to Rick Astley. They cut to the footage of his reaction, and Rick was absolutely pissing himself.
I like it.
Just absolutely loved it. But it reminded me of a time in a former life on a radio show, not here at all.
Okay.
But what happened was the studio was set up that everything we said on air or off air was A, recorded, and B, went to all the channels that you could hear. So if you were waiting on hold on the phones, you would hear everything that was being said in the studio.
Whether is that a glitch or is that how the system
had just been set up like
that? Oh, man,
that's
horrifying.
Dangerous.
Anyway, so we did an interview, I'm not going to say who it was, with a singer, and we'd been pushing for this interview for a long time.
No, please say who it was.
I'll turn the mics off and you can tell us, okay? One, two, three. Okay.
No way.
Big.
Anyway, so he or she had been waiting on the line for a little while, and we'd been talking about it, and my co-host, look, I'm not going to say who it was. She,
are you going to tell us anything?
Mike's on again.
She had dug the boot in about the only single that this particular person had released.
Okay, so they were a one-hit wonder.
What their attitude to life is, and kind of went on, I would say, about a 60-second rant about, I'm going to use the words, waste of space this person was in the world. So the person who was waiting on hold, this celebrity, had been hearing all of this, but didn't hang up, waited until we went live with him or her, and then we did this big, like, glowing spiel about
and
their achievements.
And this co-host of yours chipped in on the glowing,
spiel.
It was just you,
And then all they said as they came on was, thanks, I heard what you said, and then hung up. So they'd waited long enough to be able to hear all of this crap about them. And then they didn't hang up immediately. They waited to be able to just let us know that they knew what we had said and then hang up.
And then, so obviously you didn't know that this was a thing that your system did. So were you like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I'd only been in this job for about a month and didn't know that this was the case. But we started going back over all of our calls and who had been waiting on air and things that we'd said, not about them, but just stuff that you just say to each other.
Of course.
Because you form such a strong bond in the studio. You're like friends, so you just talk about anything and everything.
And sometimes you don't want other people to hear that.
Very personal stuff.
Holy hell.
Yeah, so when I moved to Newcastle and we got a new phone system here, I found out that this same setup was here. Everyone looked at me funny because I was just like, I want somebody to go outside, call us, and then go on hold and tell me what you hear. And they're like, why? Like,
why are you being such a diva with these demands?
Who cares? And then they went outside and they could hear all the microphones were off.
No.
The person was
disgusting.
On hold. They weren't on air or anything. Oh, and they could hear absolutely everything. And everyone just looked at each other and was like,
good catch.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Matt Taylor, I feel you.
Yeah. You'd never feel safe again.
You couldn't. In the morning. In the morning. In the morning. In the morning. In the morning.
Hello.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is Nick, Jess and Ducko for breakfast.
What time is it?
Showtime. Ooh, happy Thursday, guys.
Good morning, team.
Good morning, team. How are we all today?
Good morning. Good. Yeah, good today. Friday Eve. It's Thursday. The sun is shining. You know what I mean? Life
we
is good.
We just started. You can't already be talking about mate, Friday.
Come on. This week is done. It's all downhill from here.
Oh, mate, it has been a gloriously sunny week. Doesn't it just make you feel good to be alive?
Yeah.
Except it's getting colder, I think, over the weekend. But don't focus on that.
Why is that always the case? Yeah. Gorgeous Monday to Friday. Weekend. Pissy.
I know, so not everyone works breakfast radio and can actually go out and enjoy the day from about 10 a.m. You know, how insignificant are the weather?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry, gang.
Idiots.
Yeah, I think it's going to be rainy tomorrow and then windy on Saturday.
The worst element. The wind. I hate it when it's windy. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. I lost a whole pair of jeans once over the fence. We live on top of a hill.
I love that you've said a whole pair of jeans. Yeah. Would have been better if you lost one leg. I feel like that would have been more detrimental.
No, it was a couple of years ago, and I didn't know what happened to my jeans. I thought maybe somebody had thieved them, because jeans just seemed so inconceivably heavy as a piece of clothing. How was that the one thing that went over?
Yeah.
And I didn't know which neighbour it had gone over to. And then a few days later, after speaking to it on the radio, they came back folded up.
What?
In a plastic bag on my doorstep.
Mm. And what'd they
laundered?
Say?
No.
Not cleaned.
It had already been laundered. That's why it was on the line.
I mean, flying over a fence could have landed in anything.
Well, that's true.
Maybe no one fitted your jeans because you're too tall. So that people tried to steal them, but they're like, nah, this guy's way too
big. Which giant lives nearby?
You could put Jess and I in each leg of those things. We could just run around. You know what I mean?
But like you on my shoulders and that's one leg.
And
we'd be
up to my neck still.
Got a trench coat. You guys will get into movies.
Did you ever try that as a kid? Trying to get into, like, when you were below 16, trying to get into, like, an MA
with
movie?
With the trench coat?
No, I was just on your friend's shoulders, try and get in.
I was quite tall and had looked a lot like my brother. Yeah. So I would occasionally carry round my brother's driver's license because he's 3 years older than me.
Did you use that to go out when you were 17?
No, I didn't. Oh. I just tried to talk my way in. Not that we should go underage guys out and about.
It's not necessary. Wait for that time. Yeah.
Exactly. Man. Make it special.
Yeah. Why run?
The feeling of it is so good. When you get in, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You
spend the whole time on edge, or the security guard's going to tap you on the shoulder. You can't have a good time.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah. Like, I've heard.
Yeah, we absolutely wouldn't do that.
From tales of naughty children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. Who would do that?
No, I could never imagine doing that.
No.
Especially when you then go and, go and ask the venue if you could have your 18th birthday there while you're in there.
Did you do that?
Can I ask your event manager, please?
Did Nathan Gill do that? Classic Nathan. The alter ego comes out.
They're like, what do you mean? I was just like... Oh, the party, not the birthday.
Yeah, I turned it, but I haven't had a chance to celebrate. Yeah. I haven't found the right venue.
I'm going to...
Can I see your ID? This says you're 22.
I let
myself out.
This has been fun.
Thank you, I've had a nice time.
when you first go in and you order like your first beer or something in there and you don't know what to say.
Yeah, I'll have a beer, please.
Yeah. What kind? You're like, what
one
type?
One beer, please.
Yeah.
One alcoholic beverage, please. Yeah. Barkeep.
Whatever you've got, barkeep. Put it on.
Do you want a skewy? Absolutely, that's my favourite kind.
Yeah.
Beer.
good times.
A glass of skooey, please.
One glass of skooey.
17 glasses of skooey, please.
Is that cold or warm, the skooey?
Can I have ice in my skooey?
Yeah. good times.
Do people say skooey?
Skooey, yeah. I have a skooey of gold, skooey of
VB. I like the sound of that.
Skooey
of
you.
Skooey.
You know who? Yes, I think it was. Is it? Here we go. Oh, no, he said shooey.
A shooey for Shannon.
Yeah.
Shannon, no. Yeah. But I feel like he'd say skooey.
If you get a skooey, put it in a shooey of Newey.
Oh, and have it in Newey.
It's going to be a good day, baby.
Where is he being?
And who am I? That's something I'll tell you right now. I'm Nick Gill. You know you love me. XOXO. Nick's Diary.
Nick's Diary.
Oh, God. I love this so much.
So good.
All right, guys. This one comes from the 11th of August 2000. Now, there's not much background information that you need, but at this stage, a little bit of background information. I am still going out with Lucy. We've been dating for just over 4 months. We patched up things last week. I'm at school and hopefully getting a football career, trying to get it at this stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Starts off, Dear Doctor, that's the name of my diary, on the 11th of August 2000.
No one knows why it is, but it is.
Yeah, I know. We can't work out why he went on to marry a doctor. Maybe he manifested it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wait for the last line of this entry.
Ooh.
Dear doctor, I woke up at 10:15 a.m. today and couldn't get back to sleep. How my life has changed.
10:15 a.m. and you tried to go back to sleep.
Tried to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I could sleep until 10:15 a.m. Like, at all, let alone try to get back to sleep and then regret that I couldn't. I called Ferg, he's my best friend, and vented to him about missing a bunch of fun stuff because of football.
Yeah.
I'm missing schoolies, I'm missing Stampede, a bush bash, and I'm missing the Lauriston netball match where we all dress up as girls and take on a girls' school in netball.
You're missing out on that, are you?
Yeah. All because of football. I'm not even that good. Why am I sacrificing all this for probably what will be a failed career?
Oh, now, talk about manifesting.
I know. Talk about really? Inside as well. Yeah. Like, I wasn't that good.
You got drafted. You did get drafted.
Yeah, I did get drafted and played a few games, but, like, essentially, a failed career. Like, 17-year-old Nick.
This is just some commentary from Gil's game.
I don't know whether Gil should be taking the kick or not.
I don't know whether Gil should be taking the kick or not. Ugliest goal we've ever seen. I've got that audio on the system.
Yeah.
You
press
on. And then I go on to say, I was speaking to Ferg again, my best friend. He told me he has a list of life goals, and I was thinking how I could do the same, but I can't really think of anything to put on it. So I came up with this, and so, there's just one item. It's got a checkbox on it, like mm-hmm. a little box at the end of it. Write a good song.
Oh, jeez.
So I'd only started playing guitar for about, I don't know, 9 months by this stage.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and I didn't know this, but the box has been ticked. Okay?
Okay.
And so I've gone back to my files.
No, you don't have this. Are you serious?
There are only two songs that I wrote in the year 2000, because that's when I started writing music, and we made them into songs.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you an idea of how low my expectations were of me writing a good song, I've got some of both of those songs.
Okay.
And I'll show you how. So this one was called Sigmund Was Right. Obviously about, you know, Freudian psychological studies.
Of course. Yeah. Obviously.
Like everyone writes in year 12, idiot.
And what that means for love.
Yeah. yeah, of course.
This is the chorus of that song.
Okay, so you want me to play the chorus part?
Sigmund
I've
right.
never heard this one. Okay, here we go. Here we go. There's a place where
okay, so that's number one candidate for apparently writing a good song, which I'm ashamed to say is far better than the second option.
Oh, good.
This one is called Tunnel to My Heart.
Brilliant. Okay.
And this is, I think, a highlight of the song where it breaks down. We're really reflective about what's happening in our lives.
As I return to my home, there is nothing left, stolen by a thief.
All right, so just to retell those lyrics,
yeah.
I return to my home, there is nothing left, stolen by a thief for the price of a conscience.
Who's singing? Is it your friend?
Yeah, a mate of mine called Eamon.
Okay.
But you've written
that's
the lyrics.
Yeah. Special.
Tunnel to my
Tunnel
heart.
Tunnel to my heart. Yeah.
So, anyway. So it was write a song and you've gone back, ticked it off.
I've ticked off that in the year 2000 I've written a good song. Those were the only two candidates that could have been the case.
I wonder which one 17-year-old
it's
got
to be Tunnel to My Heart.
It's surely
Tunnel
to My
so
Heart.
The lyrics are so strong.
They really, the melody just yeah, takes so you away to another place, doesn't it?
And then just quickly to tie off, for some reason I've added these two sentences at the end of this entry. Lucy called me and told me she got 88% and a high distinction for her university chemistry exam and she's still at school. What an effort. I only go out with the smart ones.
Oh. He's married to a doctor.
Mate. Oh, wow. He had a type from day dot.
You did.
Wow.
Oh, you're a special species, Nick Gill.
You really are. You were and you continue to be.
Yep. Is it weird to be surprised by yourself?
You're growing, mate. You're learning.
Yeah, always growing. Always learning. We got always reflecting.
We got Alphabox coming up next. But before we get to Alphabox, guys, just enjoy Tunnel to My Heart one more time.
As I return to my home, there is nothing left, stolen by a
Engil.
Engil special. There's nothing left. It was stolen by a thief.
For the price of a conscience.
More of Nick, Jess and Ducko right after this.
131060, guys, is our phone number. We want you to answer this question for us. What's the most inappropriate thing your in-laws have either said or asked you?
Oh, will you accept what my parents have asked boyfriends and stuff?
Absolutely, yes. I will.
I can imagine your dad, Papa Farch.
Rob.
Ripping the Band-Aid off.
Especially the father of girls.
Yes.
Or the mother of girls. I don't know. There's that extra layer of just like probing that happens. Which, Ducko, you would have loved if we ever dated.
So much Ducko probing what? Chat this week.
What? Was it suddenly, all I can envision is Rob Farch probing the duck man.
Anyway, the reason.
Mate, wait till you meet Rob. I mean. He listens.
He's listening now going, what? Anyway.
All right.
Press on.
So, the reason why I ask this is we don't expect you to top this, but it was kind of a meet the family night on The Bachelor last night, and Lockie had to go meet the family of Beck, Izzy, Bella, and Irina, the last four the finale is tonight. Anyway, while he was at Izzy's house, her mum bailed him up about how she thought that if they were together, they would make some nice tall babies, but they might not end up together. Yeah. And so she asked this question.
I've always said to Isabella, like, if she doesn't really find a man and she feels like a baby, is there any chance, as a consolation prize, just a little bit of sperm to, you know?
I'll freeze it for you.
Yeah, okay. Look, that's all we need.
What's Izzy's face doing at that moment? Because she's obviously grown up with this woman. Yeah. This wouldn't be that outrageous maybe because she's seen her mum for her whole life, but surely you're on national TV.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
How would that be? Mum, I've just met this girl on Tinder. You know, it's our second date. Oh, well, love, do you mind freezing a few eggs just in case you guys don't work out?
Like a good source?
Yeah, I think the gene pool of you two would be prima.
I'd be happy with that. Yes.
The first thing that came to mind for me, boys, was my dad went through a really bad phase. I don't know if he was trying to suss out the prospects of these fellas, but the age range of the guys I, you know, dated for a bit were really varied. So I don't understand what his rationale was, but he'd always somehow steer the conversation very early on to what their score was in year 12. So literally I bring like a 32-year-old boyfriend home and he'd somehow get it to like, do you remember what you got for year 12? What did you study back then? I'm like, Dad, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. We actually had to have an intervention because we went to like Video Easy one time and he started chatting to the 16-year-old kid worker behind the thing being like, what are you hoping to get? I'm like, Dad, you're obsessed with that HSC score. Shut up.
Who lives and dies by it?
Yes. It doesn't mean anything. Sure.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, 131060, what's the most inappropriate thing your in-laws have said or asked? Or as you said, Jess, we will accept if your parents ask that of your partner.
Yes. Give us a call.
More of Nick, Jess and Ducko right after this.
Christy is in East Brangston. Good morning.
Good morning. How you going?
Great, thank you. What's the most inappropriate thing the in-laws said to you?
Oh, it has to be how many exes have you had in the past?
Oh my God, was this a father-in-law or a mother-in-law?
Mother-in-law.
Okay.
And how early on in the piece was this?
Oh, it was pretty early. I'm just like, I don't know how to answer this.
Did you give them a number?
Well, I had to because I had like one child, so I had to.
It's a tough one.
You want to be honest and you want to give them a number to show that you've been normal, been a person.
Yeah,
a
but what's their interpretation of normal?
Yes.
Like if you
you have to be trying to be normal in this society these days, don't you?
Yeah. You just pull their leg, just start under your breath going, 175, 176.
There was that guy. Does he count? I was sort of half a dozen.
Mother-in-law gets up and high-fives her. Yeah.
Monique and Cessnock on 131060, most inappropriate things the in-laws said.
Yeah, so it was on our wedding day nearly 6 years ago, and the advice my father-in-law gave to my husband was that marriage is like a hot bath. After you're in it for a while, it ain't so hot.
On the wedding day, Monique.
On the wedding day. At our wedding.
Okay. That wasn't in his bloody toast or his speech, was
it? Enjoy my daughter.
Yeah, it was. It was speech time.
Oh, man.
That is awesome. That is a classic dad line.
Wow. And it's on video forever.
So good, Monique.
Joanne in Glendale, what's the most inappropriate thing the in-laws have said or asked?
It was actually my mother. I was dating a 19-year-old, I was 17, and we're at a family barbecue, and she pointed to his private part and told him that if he touched me with it, she'd chop it off.
Where do you go from there, yes. Joanne? Does she then go, snag? Like, what? Where does the barbecue go from there?
I just went bright red. I was so embarrassed. And, yeah, I just couldn't do anything.
What did the rest of the family do, Joanne?
They were sort of backing my mum.
Did the guy leave? You're not sitting around having dessert after that, are you? Surely.
They're all just the rest of her family there sharpening the knives. She's right, she knows.
It's a family of butchers. Wow.
Oh, great call. We're going to give you a family pass to the Brickman Awesome Lego Exhibition. Joanne, well done.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It reminds me, I had a rowing coach once when I was speaking about marriage. Just Christy's call reminded me of it. And I said, what's it like? I was younger. What's it like being married? He goes, what's your favourite food? I said, but I can't remember what I said, but I said lasagna.
You said poached chicken.
Yeah, whatever. Poached chicken, sure. And he goes, Ducko, imagine having poached chicken every day for the rest of your life, every meal. I was like, wow.
Oh, my God, how great. Did you just say you need to do this early?
I do. Yep.
That would suggest a few things about the upcoming...
It's a bit gross.
...content.
It's a bit gross. Okay. Okay, so I got the dog, Pandemic Pam, as we all know. She's now coming, would you believe she's coming like 7.5 months?
Wow, she's getting very big.
She's getting big. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so you know she sleeps in our bed.
Right? Yeah.
She co-sleeps with us. It was Morgan, my partner's fault, not my fault that had this happen, but I like her sleeping in the bed. I've never had any issues with it.
You like the cuddling of a furry creature.
I like the feeling of her fur on me. She's so warm and nice. And she even has her own pillow. She gets under the cover.
Oh, my God.
It's very gross. Like, I'm not, you know, it's disgusting. I know that.
Did you just want a teddy bear, but you're like, I can't be a grown man with a teddy. I'll get a dog.
Well, Morgan made
And that'll be my furry companion. Yeah.
Morgan made me throw out my teddy when we started dating. So I was like, well, I need something else.
I need something.
Yeah. Anyway, this happened this morning at about 2:30 in the morning. Mm. We're lying in bed and we're all asleep. I'm cuddling Pam and Morgan's on the other side, and all of a sudden I hear this.
No.
And Pam is gagging. She's about to vomit. And then me and Morgan both shoot up, and I was like, get out, what are you doing? All I could do was put my hands up.
No.
She vomited all in my hands, all on my pillow, all on the bed, and then Morgan put her hand out and she vomited all over Morgan's hand.
How much was there?
There was a lot of vomit. And this is, I don't know if I should be concerned or not as well, because it just happened this morning. I was going to call the vet post show. She's fine. Anyway, then she got up and we're like, get out. And she ran outside, went outside, and she was like really like feeling really sorry for herself and sick outside. And it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I've just got vomit in my hands, like chopped up bits of carrot and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
her dinner. There's
always carrot in there.
Yeah.
It's always carrot. So orange. And then Morgan has vomit, and then our bed sheet had vomit everywhere.
Oh, my God, stop saying the V word. And you're going to make me gag.
And we went out. We cleaned her up and stuff and, you know, made sure she was okay and stuff, came back in, cleaned the bed. But, like, there's only so much you can do to clean the bed.
Oh,
yeah,
in the middle of the night.
Redoing everything.
Yeah. Yeah, but even, like... your mattress now.
Yeah. So, as great parents we are, we like looked at it and we like cleaned it and we're like, let's just put a towel over it and go back to bed. Just chucked a towel down, washed my hands, and went back to sleep. And I woke up and I was like when my alarm went off this morning at 4, and there was vomit on the pillow next to me.
Oh, dog vom.
I was gonna say, as a great parent, that line of. After Pam's done, get out, bad girl. Like, sorry.
No, we weren't doing that.
Threw up her guts. Get out.
I was like, no. I was like catching her vomit after I caught her. I was like, please just get out, Pam. And then she was like waiting in the door, like looking at us all sad and stuff.
I'm so weak.
I know.
The thing that annoys me about this is that so often you try to draw parallels of parenting to my 3-year-old kids.
Yes.
And I'm always trying to mock you and cut you down. But again, so often, it's so accurate.
So this has happened?
Like, definitely. You are constantly cleaning up vomit in the middle of the night
trying
when you've got children. And it bothers me that you're accurately representing what it's like to be a parent.
Hey, I'm a dad. I'm a dad. I'm not. You're not the only daddy in the show. You know what I mean?
So when the 3-year-olds throw up in the middle of the night, are you also like, Otis, Harriet, Bates,
get